Today's program was brought to you by VisitNapaValley.com, the official page for travel to the Napa Valley, America's legendary wine, food, arts, and wellness capital. For more information, visit www.visitnapavalley.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. And I can't think of a better day to be talking about whiskey, because today actually is Whiskey Live here in New York City, which... I think me and Jack will be going to that after this. And on the phone today, we have the good folks at Sugarlands Distilling Company out of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And on the phone today, we have Brent Thompson from the distillery. How you doing? Are you on the phone?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing up there?
Awesome. Awesome. Good to have you on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Our pleasure. Our pleasure completely. Especially anytime we get to talk about some whiskey.
Amen to that.
Right? So give us a rundown. Sugarlands is a fairly newer distillery hitting the market. And how did this all get started? What's the inspiration behind it all?
Yeah, you know, we've got, being around East Tennessee, there are a few of us that are part of the genesis of Sugarlands. Some of our owners actually were from this area. For your listeners, there may be some people who are familiar with Gatlinburg. It's this tiny little town that is pretty much at the gateway, one of the main entrances to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And people come from all over the world to visit Gatlinburg. The park sees, you know, close to 11 million people a year coming through that particular gate. So these guys were from around that neck of the woods. Our owners got together. One of them is a great real estate developer and a commercial property developer in town. And so we had a great piece of property. As laws changed and legislation changed in Tennessee, it started creating a possibility for all these things to kind of come together and line up for us to jump into this this really wonderful industry and take a stab at it in a different way that we didn't really feel like it was being approached as well as it could be. The Sugarlands itself is actually named after an area of the Smoky Mountains where about 100 years ago or so, there were about 20 to 30 families that lived in this super dense wilderness. Really nobody bothered them back in the woods. There weren't really many roads in or out, just super mountainous area, and they didn't grow much anything else. They couldn't grow much anything else just because of the rocky soils. Corn did pretty well for these guys, so they were able, instead of chopping that corn down and taking it to the market, which they certainly did to trade for bread, milk, eggs, and whatnot, to come back and bring and feed their families, they eventually started fermenting that corn. And could fetch a lot more, as you can imagine, at market for these spirits. Of course, they didn't call it, they didn't call it moonshine back then. They called it blockade. So if you made blockade, you were a blockader. That really was one of the ways that they survived. It's just really kind of fascinating. Well, now that area called the Sugarlands is an area that's protected because it's the national park. So people who come to Gatlinburg and come to the Smoky Mountains can go into this area and really have an outdoor experience from the mountaintops to the riverbeds. People who can have this great experience really being in this same place that's really been undisturbed for quite some time. So it's really a beautiful, beautiful part of the country. So we basically opened up shop in Gatlinburg, and just a little under a year ago, we opened up in March of 2014. And I tell you what, from day one, we opened the doors, and we haven't really looked back. It's been a really wonderful, really wonderful experience and a wonderful reception. We get a few thousand people coming in our door a day, and it's staggering foot traffic. You can only hope to have that sort of foot traffic being in any sort of business. And this is, I hate to say, this is kind of like Times Square of Tennessee. The property values are certainly worth it because there's so many people that are coming through. But we felt pretty good that we were putting out a product that would really resonate with people who are really searching for that authenticity and that craft. And fortunately, it's done really, really well. And we get that daily affirmation from the people that come in and sample our moonshine.
That's awesome. I would never expect. I mean, like, you've got almost a monopoly on the market there. I mean, there's a lot of distilleries popping up around Kentucky and Tennessee, but I mean, like, sounds like you've got kind of like the main attraction, as it were, around that area of eastern Tennessee, right?
Well, this neck of the woods is really it is a tourist destination in a lot of ways. I mean, there's all sorts of attractions that are around the area. That's kind of the name of the game in the two towns I would call, really the three towns between Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge, and Sevierville. And then, of course, you work all the way through Gatlinburg, and then you go into the Smoky Mountains. The Smoky Mountains, of course, is the true gem. That's why people have been coming here for, 60, 70 years and really flocking to the area. But, yeah, it's kind of an interesting attraction mecca. We hear accents from all over the world, and that's kind of a beautiful thing. I mean, in East Tennessee, we're certainly, I can imagine, people have their certain imagination and their stereotype of this sort of Appalachian culture, and there's definitely that, but there's definitely so much more than that stereotype, and you see all these different backgrounds of people coming to tour here and to live here, and it's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it makes sense too. You guys have a pretty deep roster of different styles of moonshine that you're making. I mean, first of all, I have to just touch on the fact that, it's shine in mason jars, and if I were like hiking the Appalachian Trail or camping out in the Smoky Mountains, I would, that's how I would be imbibing,
Right now it would be helpful to have in your backpack.
exactly. Well, and going along with that too, it's your two main ones, the two kind of like standard shines that you have are both 100 proof. I mean, was that part of a bigger decision? Because like a lot of the other shines are coming out at like 80, your standard 80.
Yeah, I don't know I'm sure you've had plenty of experiences kind of being in the world that you're in. I mean, you're hanging out at a friend's house and somebody says, "Hey, I'll be right back," and they come back with a jar of something pretty special. That's happened to me, I know, several times living in East Tennessee, and that stuff can be fantastic. And I think a lot of folks have had that sort of experience of kind of drinking something in the past. It's like, hey, this is illegal. We're not really supposed to have this, but damn, it's good.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a certain intimacy around that. There's a certain intimacy of who you would choose to share that with. And so, we felt like it was most important to really make the most authentic products that we possibly could. We make all of our products. It's actually called Sugarland Shine. And the first couple that you mentioned are really delicious. They've kind of appealed to two different types of straight, clear whiskey drinkers, unaged whiskey drinkers. The first is called Silver Cloud, and it's my personal favorite. It's super smooth. It's distilled six times at our distillery here. It's 51% Tennessee white corn. 49% cane sugar. Now we actually seek out and use Tennessee white corn. It's a little harder to get. Most whiskeys are using yellow corn, but we have a saying, and that is white corn is for whiskey and yellow corn's for critters. We take it pretty seriously. This white corn makes an excellent drink. and it's just super smooth. It's got just this excellent fresh corn taste. So that is an authentic Prohibition-era Tennessee sour mash is what you got on your hands there. And it's remarkably smooth for something that's 100 proof, and that's the first thing that the folks who taste that, you know, yes, it's 100 proof, it packs a punch for sure, but it's got this smoothness that makes you want to drink a little bit more, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
That's the recognizability of, man, I had some good stuff about 10 years ago with a good buddy, you know?
Yeah.
And that's important to be able to connect back with those pretty authentic memories. The next clear that we made is a 100 proof unaged rye. And, you know, rye has certainly, you know, seen a huge resurgence. And this is definitely true to its name. It's 51% rye, 44% Tennessee white corn, and 5% barley malt. And it's got a wonderful toasted grain, spicy, peppery punch to it. It is the recipe of this guy named Jim Tom Hedrick. And for those people who are listening, if you're familiar with, there's a television show on the Discovery Channel called Moonshiners. Well, this guy, Jim Tom Hedrick, is kind of the elder statesman, if you will. He's 74 years old. He's on the show. He's been making moonshine for 61 years. Got his start in the Smoky Mountains. And this guy knows exactly what he's talking about. He's known for this, his rye. So this is his recipe, and we call that those products, we call that as part of the Legends series, where we're honoring Southern Appalachian moonshiners.
That's great.
So, yeah, it's delicious. Great in the Bloody Mary, for sure. And we're straight.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's cool to really pay homage, especially because these guys are outlaws, man. You know, like,
yeah. You know, they've seen that world. They've seen that world where, you know, they've certainly had to, you know, hide and go about their business in a more discreet way than we ever have. Our process is the same. You know, everything that we are doing is the exact same that these guys are doing back in the woods. The only difference is our equipment is just a little more sophisticated. It's meant to handle more volume, and we're paying taxes.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, it's legal. Plenty of taxes, for sure.
Yep.
Speaking of that, like, I mean, you know, just going to shoot off subject a little bit, but still kind of on subject, you know, NASCAR was, essentially invented by moonshiners, rum runners. And, I mean, I could only imagine that there's probably a rich history of hot rod and some pretty gnarly hot rods around that area of the world.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of back roads that many people don't know about that have been that way for quite some time. That's definitely a part of the history. And I think what's really interesting for us is, you know, we in our story, we are not as overly consumed with that part of the story. It's obviously there. We love this a little more. This story that's a little closer to family.
Sure.
It's not nearly as outlaw. It's not nearly as illegal. It's really more about survival.
Yeah,
you know, and this time of year when it's just bone cold, you know, I kind of put myself in the position of being that dad, you know, in the woods trying to make sure that my family is taken care of. And, you know, frankly, there are a lot of bears out there. there are a lot of threats, not only from the elements, but just the wilderness in general. And I don't know, that's where I go with this story. You know, we have a saying with our product, and that is that there's a story in every jar. We think that that's pretty true. You know, when the good stuff comes out, people seem to have a way with words, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a great, rich history of storytelling in the Appalachians, and that's something that we certainly care a lot about.
That's the whole reason why I have this show.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's great. Shining. You know, I think you kind of get it's easy to get lost in it and to appreciate where you've come from for sure.
Exactly. I think it's really cool. And going back, I guess what you're saying is you're not drinking on the rocks right now. You're probably drinking it neat. You don't need any more coal down there.
You just keep it outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep it on the back porch.
Well, yeah, and at 100 proof, it's going to definitely warm you up. I think it's really cool. I would love to talk with Jent and Tom Hedrick about, get a one-on-one conversation with him about, you know, what he thinks about the whole whiskey industry now, as opposed to like when he started, you know, 60 some odd years ago, and see what he thinks about what we're doing nowadays, and the different kinds of bars that are serving, you know, great products like this, you know, like the unaged whiskeys, and that there's a crazy market for it. You know, it's not necessarily, I think about like 8-9 years ago when I first started seeing other white dogs on the market, just kind of like popping out here and there. It was more of like a, here's one little thing, just try it out, and then it exploded. I mean, it would be interesting to see what they think about that.
Yeah, you know, and this guy, I mean, he's a total character. Super, super nice guy, and you get the sense. I mean, you just turn him on, and he starts talking, and he could talk for hours, literally. He just has that sort of, you know, experience and wisdom. I mean, he's just a riot, really. He loves it, and to be honest, he loves it. I mean, these guys would have never possibly imagined that their world could end up like this. And you know, there are just so many people who know who they are, and it's great. We've had an absolute blast working with him, and since then we've actually started working with a couple of other guys that are actually on the show and developed some products for them to extend our Legend series. So we've just recently put out a 70 proof American Peach moonshine by a guy named Mark Rogers, who's on the show. He's the guy who's decked out in camouflage. This guy is a straight-up American hunter, like no more of a hunter. I mean, I've never met anybody who's more of a hunter than this guy. He's got kill marks on his rifle, you know, probably a couple hundred kill marks, and he kills bear, you know, turkey, wild boar, deer, and he's a cool dude. He's a really cool dude.
Nice.
And so we're having a lot of fun with that one, as well as a guy by the last name of Tickle, Stephen Ray Tickle, and his we're doing his Dynamite Cinnamon Moonshine. It's also 70 proof, and it's killer. It's killer. It's just like red hot candy. So those two are doing really well. So the three of those together, the rye, the peach, and the cinnamon together are our what we call the Legend Series. And so these guys are they're having a lot of fun with us, and suffice it to say, we're having a great time with them.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, to me, it sounds like all those flavors would be really cool together, which, you know, I think we should take a quick break. But when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about your lineup of spirits, because honestly, you know, when I first saw the website and saw everything you guys were doing, I immediately just wanted to start mixing them together.
Yeah, you can do that.
But that's the bartender in me. So let's take a quick break. And we'll be right back speaking with Brent Thompson of Sugarland Shine. Back in just one moment.
Today's program was brought to you by VisitNapaValley.com. Welcome to the Napa Valley, North America's legendary wine and food capital, where the art of living well is defined, and each season holds a story waiting to be discovered. Life feels slower here, lived at a place where tables are set with care. Fine wine and food are created from the bounty of our own vineyards and gardens, and relationships with friends and family gathered around the table are somehow sweeter. When planning a trip to the Napa Valley, we invite you to visit the destination's official visitor website, visitnapavalley.com, or stop by Napa County's official visitor information center, located in downtown Napa, where our friendly and knowledgeable community ambassadors can assist you in creating your own legendary Napa Valley experiences. The Visitor Information Center is located at 600 Main Street, Napa, and is open from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., 7 days a week, 360 days a year. Your invitation to experience the Napa Valley beckons. Take a deep breath, lose yourself in our quiet green and golden hills, renew your body and spirit, taste our legendary wines and cuisine, and experience the people who make this valley like no other in the world. For more information, go to visitnapavalley.com.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and we're talking Shine today. And I gotta tell you, Brent, you know, when I first, you know, before we took the break, about 8-9 years ago, when I first got that first couple of tastes of different, you know, different types of White Dog whiskeys that hit the market, I was kind of like, eh. I've tasted the real stuff, you know, and like this stuff coming out of like 80 proof and kind of like having these really pretty packages, and I was like, oh, all right, well, whatever. I mean, I always say you got to try everything,
mm-hmm.
And to see what's happened with the moonshine, White Dog, whatever you want to call it, new make, you know, billion different terms for it. To see what's happened over all those years, it's really impressive, and there's been just an incredible influx of great products that have hit the market. That it actually kind of blew my mind that people, these different distillers and craft professionals, started making these things and doing them really, like, pretty heavy justice, you know, and like and not only was it, you know, things like moonshine, but then like we right before the break we were talking about the peach whiskey and the cinnamon moonshine too. You know, there was such a big deal about like Fireball, you know, and it's not gonna say it's terrible, but I've tasted so many cinnamon whiskeys lately over the past few years, and the same thing happened. It's like they started out tasting like, all right, this is kind of a cinnamon liqueur of sorts that people are, you know, chilling and shooting. But I like the way that products like this are starting to like really focus on, this is whiskey with cinnamon in it. You know, it's, this isn't like a syrupy, like additive. It's like, it's a real proper like tipple, you know?
Yeah, you know, we certainly, you know, I just kind of touch a little bit on what you said. It's really has been kind of fascinating to see it, you know, become a much more popular category. And, you know, I think it's a double-edged sword in the way that I look at it. In one way, there are a lot of early brands that kind of got out there that, you know, helped really blaze a trail. And that was great for creating the category. There's another way of looking at it, which is it is now this new taste, and does it pass that first impression test in our modern world, right? And that's where we felt like it made sense for us to jump in, is to really focus on the authenticity and the craft and really the taste. I mean, frankly, we get... we've won 14 awards right now based on the taste of our product, which is huge to us. We certainly take that super seriously. Those are, you know, from consumer level, blind tasting. You know, taste really is very paramount. You know, we grind our corn, we grind our rye. We take the process super, you know, seriously. We're making all that happen, and we're distilling 6 times. Our distiller is, you know, probably like a lot of your listeners out there, is a guy who is a former engineer and home brewer hobbyist, right? And there are a lot of people who are right now making, you know, great spirits and super small batches in their homes and houses and their garages. You know, it happens. And you know, it's one thing to also stumble upon a century-old recipe and to make that and do it well in a small batch. But there is certainly an art all to its own to be able to scale that up in such a way that you can make a large batch taste excellent and consistent. Man, that's tough. And so I think you've seen the category grow over the last several years, and you know, there's good moonshine and there's bad moonshine, and that's sure. That's kind of, you know, there's good whiskey and there's bad whiskey, yeah, what's interesting around our neck of the woods here, you know, down in Tennessee, you know, we're seeing, if we're, you know, some of our customers are certainly liquor stores, package stores everywhere we go. You know, we are obviously selling our product into those stores, and I think a lot of speculators were kind of thinking this would be kind of a flash in the pan, that moonshine would go away. It was just kind of an annoying house guest, if you will. But what has happened is, I think that it's really it started sticking, and now some of these stores down around this area, you know, they're seeing, you know, 15% of their entire sales in the moonshine category. And that's astonishing.
It is.
And it's really astonishing when you think of the whole mix of things that they're selling in those stores.
Absolutely. I mean,
you know,
I know when I guess Georgia Moon would have been the first one that one of the first ones, and it was in a mason jar. And dude, I used to just buy that for people as a gift just because it was in a mason jar, and I thought that was cool. You know,
like, right? Oh yeah. Hey, you know, I'll be the first one to say that I think a lot of people's perspective on this product is really from a novelty.
Right.
You know, that you bought that because there's an aspect of novelty. I think it's just taking some time and more people trying good products for them to say, hey, wait a second. This is actually more than novelty. This is actually something that I can actually keep in my cabinet. I know I'm actually going to drink.
Yeah.
That's the problem that we're running into right now is folks come to our distillery from all over the country and they buy up a bunch and they get home and they drink it too fast.
Well, that's the thing.
And now they're trying to figure out where they can get it in the States.
And like the novelty thing is like it's like a foot in the door, but you know you can that only gets one foot in the door. You know,
it really does.
To get the other foot in, you got to have good juice in the jar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, if there's something that I have purchased and I take a sip and I don't like it, I could clean a toilet with it. I don't even know that if it's bad, I would give it to a friend. It's just one of those things.
You mean you give it to an enemy?
I look at it as something it's highly shareable, and if you're going to share something, it should be great.
Yeah, I mean, to me, talking about like marketing and packaging and gaming stuff like that. Some of my favorite stuff is like, you know, like old Ezra 7 and like the Heaven Hill Bonded, all those like old labels like JTS Brown and the old Fitzgerald, and those bottles, the labels were always like gold and red and black and white, you know, just like they all had the same color scheme and they were always on the bottom shelf. And there's some, you know, they're not very good. I mean, look at Rittenhouse. I mean, they just changed their label, but it was not a good label before, but there's charm in that. And I think if you get both of them, if you hit both sides, you've got the packaging and then you get the spirit going in there as well. That's good. I mean, you kind of got it nailed, and then you have longevity with it. Like looking back through your spirits list, like I was saying before the break, it's like I want to mix all these together. And you know, when I look through this too, it's to me, like, especially I drink a ton. I'm from Oklahoma, and I drink just a ton of iced tea. It's like my favorite beverage. I could give up whiskey. If I had to give up whiskey, I mean, I would want to keep, you know, give up every kind of beverage. It would just be iced tea, probably before whiskey. I don't know. Don't quote me on. Don't hold me to that. But I love that you guys have a sweet tea vodka, and then also you have a lemonade. Or sorry, I said vodka, a sweet tea whiskey, and then you have a lemonade whiskey, and then you have a blackberry whiskey. And I'm like, dude, I could mix all these together, especially the peach with like the lemonade and the sweet tea. I mean, the list goes on and on. And you've got like a blackberry, you've got a butterscotch, and then the apple pie. I mean, think about the dynamite cinnamon moonshine with the Appalachian apple pie. It's like, come on, that just makes too much sense. So,
are you wanting me to just go ahead and send you everything right now?
Do I just need to
send the box to you?
I think Jack's giving us a thumbs up through the window.
That's a yes.
Yeah, you know, that's what we see with our customers. You know, people are certainly kind of making their own cocktails, their own. You know, these are. Our products are made to drink straight right out of the jar, and they taste fantastic that way. But I have to say we've turned on a lot of folks into making their own cocktails. You know, the butterscotch is really interesting. It's a standout product for us. And the butterscotch, it really tastes, you know, pretty much on the nose of that old butterscotch candy.
That's what I'm saying. It's like every one of these, I mean, being from, you know, Southern State, Southwest, you know, it's like these are all flavors I grew up with.
Right.
And it's all stuff that, like, there's not one thing in your product line that doesn't remind me of, like, childhood. Even the alcohol content reminds me of childhood a little bit. But I just love that, like, that these are your products and you've got a really wide array of flavor profiles. But they're all, like, it's very genuine, you know. It's like it doesn't make me think about like your distillery as a place that's trying to sell me on a product that I don't necessarily want to have. It's all very like, it's all stuff that's interesting to me. I mean, I think like I haven't had the butterscotch, but like that's something that I'd be extremely interested in, you know.
Yeah. Well, you talk about the blending. I mean, you take our butterscotch and you blend it with apple pie, and it really kind of up that sort of buttery content, if you can kind of imagine. It really kind of makes it taste like this cobbler or do the same thing with blackberry. I mean, it really is fascinating to see the effects that some of these have on others. We even take, you know, our Silver Cloud, our Tennessee Sour Mash, and we'll mix that with it's a great mixer, and it blends, and it really kind of raises the octane of all of our flavors.
Sure.
And so, yeah, that's something that a lot of folks will do, is pick that up to kind of, you know, it's not, you know, I think that there's a lot of folks out there who may have tasted their most recent, you know, quote-unquote White Lightning. It's not pleasurable all the time. You know, you kind of feel like you should muscle up and just, you know, drink it like a man, and you
right.
should be okay with how horrible it tastes. you know, I disagree with that. I think that it should. You know, I'm a whiskey drinker. I'm a Tennessee guy. I love Tennessee whiskey. I love Kentucky bourbon, and I need it to taste fantastic. Doesn't necessarily mean that it needs to taste sweet. It just needs to have. You can tell the difference, and it has everything to do with composition. You can tell immediately when you taste something. If something's bad, it just takes off on you. It's like, hey, you put like a ghost pepper in your mouth, and you know pretty quickly you've done something pretty horribly wrong to your body, unless you choose that destiny.
That go on a dare. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, it's like there's this little flag that goes off in your head, like, okay, no. You know it.
I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, your palate yeah. is more developed than you give it credit for.
Right.
I always maintain, you know, you like what you like, and you know, you can have people come in and he'll tell you that this is the best, and certainly I appreciate everybody's opinion, for sure. For us, you know, we get thousands of opinions a day, and fortunately they're opinions that result in people taking some shine home with them, and that's a good thing.
That's awesome. I know we're at the end of the show, but I just want to thank you again for taking the time out. I wish you were here in New York. We could go to Whiskey Live tonight together. And,
hey, you know what? I'm supposed to fly to Albany tomorrow morning. I'm going to be there in Albany on Thursday and Friday, and I might just have to hike. If I can hike away into the city, I might just do
that. Oh, yeah. You should, man. Hit me and Jack up. We'll all drink some whiskey together.
That sounds great, man.
Right.
I appreciate you having me on the show. It's great talking to you.
Likewise. The website is sugarlandsdistilling.com. Go check out the products. Really, really cool stuff. Awesome. I just, like, it reminds me of, like I said, it reminds me of home. It's really cool. And I can't wait to drink some whiskey with you if you make it over here.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. We have a saying, instead of saying cheers, we say sips up. Sips up to you guys, all your listeners.
Likewise. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Tune in to heritageradionetwork.org for many other programs like this. Until then, cheers. Sips up.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.